You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk.
You had to decide what podcast you're on? You're
like, I don't know.
Where are we?
Which one?
Picking up side gigs, huh?
Yeah, no. None
that
of
shows
that.
You that the school year and fall is in full effect.
Yes.
Like, where am I right now?
What are we doing? Yeah, what are we
very
doing?
Very much so. So we're at
what I feel like.
Week two school, like. I think it's hit everybody. They're no longer excited.
Yeah, it is. The newness wore off day two in our house with the high scores, especially the little ones. Like the elementary school is still cool.
No homework.
Yeah.
They're
good. Yeah, then it's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we dropped our oldest off at college.
That's where you were this Sunday?
Yeah, that's where I was.
Right. And, you weren't preaching if you have a call somewhere?
No, it's not. Let the rumors
just
be stopped.
Always have to clarify.
That's right. That's true. No, we were dropping him off. Literally, he got to move in that afternoon. He got to be there a few days early because of his on-campus job and orientation. That he
I thought
to be
you
there
said because of his last name.
Oh, that's right. I wish. No, our last name does not carry much clout anywhere.
It does in this room.
That's right.
It does with Boggy Talk Nation.
In this room.
Yes. Oh, and I think, you know, we were just kind of, you know, it was a long, quiet, tearful car ride. Long car ride home. But, yeah. Hey.
Did you have the kids with you on the way home?
No, we only...
That's why it was quiet.
That's okay. Well, yeah.
I get why it's tearful, even if the kids are with you.
We had Eliza with us. So,
if I have to turn around and drive this car.
Yeah, no, we were like, we can't, we're not going to make this whole thing a family, whole family
affair.
Yeah,
that's wise.
Just because we wanted to enjoy it. And he,
And then he picked his favorite sibling.
That's right.
So Eliza,
went.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Oh, man. Do you guys think you'll see him a lot on the weekends?
No.
Or no?
It's a far. It's like 7 hours.
Yeah, and, it's a haul.
Okay.
And I just know him. And he lives up to his last name. He's going to run hard with people and friends.
Yeah.
And he'll be back for fall break. We know we'll see him mid-October. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
that's not too bad.
Yeah. And we'll talk. We'll talk and chat.
Yeah.
And text and all the things. So I'm not worried about communication.
Going to listen to Boggy Talk Nation. Boggy
I don't
Talk
know.
Weekly?
He might be lonely.
Maybe he'll become a citizen.
He might get lonely. That's right. And
I realized
like,
that he
voice.
Listened, but it was just because he had headphones on while he did his job around here. He wasn't like a devout listener. He just needed.
He's like, I needed something to do. Yep, that's right.
Yeah. That makes sense. Well, speaking of family, we are still in our series, As For Me and My House. And so today we're just going to unpack some things that you talked about on Sunday.
Sounds great.
So a couple of your points, one that you made, one that's also another gut check. We've had a lot of those.
Yeah,
recently.
Lots of gut checks.
This whole people in our life group, I think everyone was crying by the end. They were like, between today's service and all the kids leaving just the sermon.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it's just.
It's been rich. Rich conversations.
It's been really good.
Yeah. God's timing is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So you had said that a lot of times people, we basically are making excuses for, you know, God is telling us to do something and you're just saying like, I can't because of whatever, but that's not actually what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a parent of what, between the three of us, 16 kids,
a lot of children,
we understand that when our kids are like, I can't do it. It's like,
no, you won't.
No, you just won't do it.
Yeah.
So first, I mean, I kind of talked about some of this stuff and I feel like if you take something I said on Sunday out of context, then you could be like, he's not, you know, he's not recognizing the real trauma that people are going through or the real hurt. And actually, I do. I mean, 2 weeks ago when we had that powerful Sunday, you know, and people were at the altar praying, you know, I have people who are just struggling texting me and they're like, I am struggling to have the joy of my church family because of what I'm going through. So I recognize that. I do. And I do think there are, I mean, I have a child in my home who we had to manage our expectations for her because of the trauma she experienced when she was young, she's adopted, and so like that's reality. Yeah, we're not all going to quote unquote perform at the same level. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a lot of times there is sin involved in maybe alongside that or instead of that sometimes, and we like to hide behind the challenges we have with whatever it may be. So like marriage, for example, like marriage can be difficult. And if you didn't grow up with godly examples and maybe you got married without a lot of shepherding, you find yourself in this situation where marriage is hard. And I think a lot of times people are like, well, I just can't do this anymore. And it's like, I recognize how hard it is, but I also see in you sin and you don't want to do this anymore because you want to be happy and you don't trust that God can help you to be happy. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what I mean by that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think so. Easy example. Like, so let's start easy target. Like,
you're saying mine was a hard example.
No, I'm just saying, like, people are like, well, I don't, you know, like, think about the things that you say, well, it's just so hard to do that, and so you don't do it.
Yeah.
But we do a lot of other hard things because
right.
the goal.
Right.
We're like, oh, but yeah. I want that. Like,
right.
Whether it's related to success in our job, we're like, yes, it can be hard to do that, but you hustle because you want the money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not in ministry, but.
Like there's a whole character there.
That's right.
I need to understand his backstory.
It's one of my Michael Scott office.
Yeah. I do hustle. That. You got to make money. You know?
I do that. I come in into different meetings and characters.
Oh, gosh.
That would be awful.
That would be terrible.
But I think, like, let's start with do you read the Bible?
Oh, well, that's just, a good.
I can't because I'm just not a morning person. Oh, all right. Okay. Is that the only time you can read your Bible? But isn't right. it work? Like, so, like, let's – no, you just won't. Like, we yeah. talk about not having enough time, and right. there can be a lot of things that we don't have time for. We do have to right. prioritize. But it's that you won't make time for yeah. what's important. So that's right. a small example. But then you get to, like, hiding behind excuses. It's like, I can't – because. Well, you just won't because you sometimes doing it requires you to dig in. Peel back the layers of things in your own heart, motives, to have people,
right.
maybe, hey, I see this in you, yeah. or I, and that's hard. We don't want it. No one wants to hear that.
No one wants to hear that.
It's always not fun.
But at the same time, like, that is what we need to do. I mean, I don't like to hear that. I also don't like to have those conversations nope. either because yeah. it's like, hey, buddy, like, how do you approach?
There's another hey, dude.
But that's what we're called to yeah. do, and we yeah, just have right. to do it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's harder to do the work. It's easier to make up the excuses.
It really is.
Let's
yeah,
put that on
good.
A T-shirt.
That's right. I may have said that this Sunday.
You yeah. did? Okay. Well,
yeah, that literal quote that you said.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. All right. Another thing that you had said was that God often can put things in our life that keep us humble. Can you unpack that a little bit more?
Yeah, you know, I really feel
let's
like,
list the people he's put in our life.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I know. That is a great point. Have you seen the, like, memes? It's like praying for the youth pastor to have less drama in his life and all the youth group disappears. You know? Like,
yeah.
This is true.
Yeah, I think that some Christians actually fail to recognize this, that God brings affliction or allows affliction and ultimately with the end goal of making us more like him and dependent on him. And I mean, there's a lot to unpack there that I don't think that's a whole nother episode of Boggy Talk, but I do think we need to recognize, like, there are things. I was actually thinking about this today and not even remembering that we were doing this. And, you know, it's a really good season for our church. And my prayer has been, and, you know, we've prayed this at prayer night, like, God, keep us humble, you know. And I just got this. So I've had three super random criticisms in the last several days. And I was like, God, you're answering that prayer. And I don't even think the criticisms are legit, but they're definitely causing me to be like,
hey, wait.
Yeah. And so I'm like, hey, God, thank you for using this to keep me humble. So that's an easy one.
Yeah.
But I do think, and I'm certainly not saying that God is causing people to do awful things to keep me humble, but I am saying, He does bring hardship, challenge, trials to make us humble.
Yeah, and
not
humility,
all of them.
Yeah, and humility is a posture of our heart. Do we listen to people? Do we accept feedback? Do we accept people? Like, what people bring stuff to us, that posture of humility. I think, God does put us in situations that humble us. And we have to remember, too, like, God disciplines the ones he loves, and part of his discipline and training towards us is helping us be more like Jesus in humility.
Yes.
You know, I think a specific example of this, I'll make this a long story short, I promise. But when we were like wrestling about moving here, and I was like, no, God, I'm not doing it. Like, I know that I'm supposed to do this, but it's just too hard. And I was out for a run.
I can't. Yeah.
And I was out for a run, and it was great. And then the next day, I couldn't walk. Like, my heel was like, I don't know what happened. Damn. And I literally was limping. And I like, you know, I'm not one of those people that God gave me a vision or God.
8 o'clock service. That's right.
That's right. God's just preparing me.
We didn't have 8 o'clock service back then.
And it took, And so I was just like, God was like, where, you can't run. You can't run. And I just, you know, I'm not one of those people who like God speaks in every little, you know, I mean, he does speak in a lot of different things, but I'm not like the vision guy. But I was like, this is so clearly like, okay. And it took a long time for that to go away. I had to do physical therapy even once we moved here to like get rid of it. And it came out of nowhere. And to this day now, I have to like really like occasionally it'll just like happen. And I'm like, God,
it's a reminder.
Every time it happens, I'm like, Wyatt, you walk with a limp because you walk with the Lord. So there you go. I just think he does do stuff like that.
At least he didn't break
your
hip like Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, I could, he could have like made me fall down and crack my head open. I'll take the
spring.
Then you would have been working anywhere.
I'll take the slight, and all these broken bones.
I know. I mean, I mean, so in the grand scheme of things, you're like, that's frustrating. But at the same time, I'm every time I feel it, I'm like, God, well, I walk with you.
Yeah, I've said this in a sermon before, but I'm not the first to say it. But, like, it's better to walk with the Lord with a limp than to strut without him.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and I think we need to be thankful for that. Mm-hmm. You know?
So, when things are easy and everything's going well, you know, that's we often think we just put ourselves as God. Like, I got this. Everything's great. Mm-hmm. And so it is very humbling, too. But I think as well, like, I've been reading in Matthew, and I'm too – where Jesus is, you know, really showing that he came to be a servant to us. And it's like just the picture of that, you know, of God coming to us as a servant. And it's hard for our brains to kind of reconcile that because he is God.
Yeah.
But like he wants to empower us through his Holy Spirit to do these things. And so
100%.
Like why we don't give him the opportunity because we try to do it in our own strength or whatever is just always kind of a mystery to me that we do that. Okay, so another thing you said –
I'm nervous every time you say that.
One well, more thing you said.
I try to.
What did you mean by?
What did you mean by? Okay. Are your tears a sign of life or death?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think let's go back to Esau. You know, Esau cries when he realizes he sells his birthright, but he's not really repentant. Yeah. You know, and people like to. Kind of back to what I was talking about on Sunday, they like to, Esau's the bad guy. I mean, the good guy in this situation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, he's realizing
what he did,
you know. So I do think that, you know, godly sorrow leads to repentance. Mm-hmm. And so our tears bringing about and because of our desire to be restored and for Christ to work, or are they ultimately a sign that we are not going to trust him and we are hopeless on our own? That's what that's how I would say. And so I think we live in a culture that just responds to the tears. You know, I referenced my one daughter already. Like, she's so cute and sweet. And so when she's in like an argument with another child, like the natural tendency for me is to take her side because those tears start coming down. But then I realize like she's actually sometimes crying because she's got caught. She's been caught. She's not
facing
getting
the consequence
away.
Or the way
she's doing something wrong. Like,
agreed.
And so I think there are, I mean this with, I'm not mad at anybody. I think there's a lot of people that are acting like they're the victim and they're not. And I think when you think about true victims, like, that actually should make us more mad because it's illegitimizing their real hurt.
Agreed.
Absolutely. So you talked about that with the victim lens that has starting to affect us now more and more. You know, a lot of because of our culture.
Sounded like I'm on a Jordan Peterson podcast.
Speaking of Boggy.
It is very difficult, and everybody –
as a female, categorizes will you just take this one, please?
I don't even want to touch that either.
We're not victims because we're white men. We are not allowed to be victims.
Right.
That's funny.
So it is.
We're the real victims.
I see that being
today.
The YouTube short from this.
Yeah, line. I know. The real victims are white men.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, well.
Now trending.
I know. I will not make this YouTube short.
Do not make that one a short.
No, don't worry. But we even, I mean, we had somebody that talked about this in their testimony recently, too, that really actually suffered.
Yeah, what yes. a, that great, wait, that's a great point. Yeah, yeah she shared. I got to the point that, like, these, yeah, but she said it so well in that video, and in person, too, if you've talked to her. Like, she, and there's, like, these legitimately hard things did happen in her life.
Yeah.
And she got to the realization, like, she can't, if she just keeps blaming rather than, like, moving forward, you're stuck. And you're actually missing out on what God wants to do in you and in your family and in the people around you because you're blaming them. And while there is still, like, what happened to her was wrong, and it was the result of sin and dysfunction, that's beyond your control. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be, you know, responsible for your actions, your choices, and how you handle that.
Right.
You know, I think of the parable of talents. Everyone's given a different amount, and they're not held accountable for, like, for the amount they received. They're held accountable for what they did with what they received.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think it's, it's just like, that parable is kind of the book boundaries. Isn't that a summary.
So,
like,
great, though, that, you know, God's word has that in there? Because if you were to tell me, like, what is one of the greatest challenges of just people in general today, it would be, they're so consumed with what they do and do not have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, like, that parable is saying that's a reality.
Right.
Yeah.
The world, like, life is not equitable.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's not. Yeah. And we,
Yeah. And so what are you going to do with who? And, like, there's just such a great lesson in that. And I think it goes deeper than what other religions even try to teach about contentment. Yeah.
And then it just points us back, I mean, to our need for Jesus, and that's the whole point. You know, for all of it.
I will add, and I don't know if I talked about this on Sunday, I can't remember because we're recording this ahead of time. Victims, true victims, need advocates to help them have the best chance of overcoming the pain in their life. And the church is supposed to be the advocate. So, like, we are to be walking with victims, not saying get over your victim mindset.
Yeah. Right.
And
that's
so
good.
I do think
I think
that's a valuable piece of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And and recognizing that process may take a while.
Yeah.
You know, it is a progress. Like, you know, I mean, could God supernaturally just heal someone and they're just fine and functional and moving on? Yes. But the reality is that is usually a slow process of realization and steps forward and steps back and continuing. And that's why we need community to walk with it.
Yeah, he designs. Mm-hmm. I mean, can people just get saved? Yes, but he designs the church to be a part of people hearing the gospel.
Yeah.
And so can people just be made whole? Yes, but God designs it in a way that people are a part of it. That's God's design.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Which is pretty cool. We get to be a part of it, too. Yeah. Like, we don't have to.
It's very messy sometimes.
Yeah. This is true. Yeah. Cool, but
right.
Oh, man. Another thing that you talked about on Sunday was that it's often difficult because people see, especially, you know, when we're reading through the Old Testament, but then even in today's world, we see God's holiness, which can be judgment to a people group or even an individual, but then his mercy, like his forgiveness and being able to reconcile those two together. That's a very difficult concept. Probably always will be.
Yeah. And if you're new, I understand why at first glance you're like, it seems like two different gods, like Old Testament and New Testament, because you're just getting like the highlights, right?
Yeah.
The things that stand out. But actually, if you read through the Old Testament, you're seeing a very gracious God, a very patient God. And if you dig into the judgment that's brought about, like, you know, on these nations, I mean, a great example, I think we talked about this in Blog Talk not too long ago, is the Canaanite progression from Abraham's life to the time when Joshua and them slaughter them is like 400 years of evil that's just compounded. And it is, you know, so God brings about judgment. And I think the challenge for us is like, that's not directly applicable to a New Testament individual. So the way that God worked through an Old Testament society doesn't have direct application on how a New Testament individual lives their life. But I also would just say, like, this shows us what the cross is. The cross is the wrath of God satisfied.
Yeah, that's good.
He is angry about sin.
Mm-hmm.
And he is loving. And here's the depth himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the answer. It's the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the power of God for salvation, the gospel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the holiness, like holiness is what makes mercy so rich. I mean, because the people would say the fundamental attribute is that God is love, and that's true, but actually, like I've heard it said, like, it's actually his holiness, because his love is the outflow. He is holy, means perfect. And so he's perfect in all things, and because he's perfect in all things, his love is an outflow of perfection. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we have to just remember his holiness is God. Like, that is core to who he is as our God. It's holy. He's perfect in every way, and we certainly are not. Yeah. So we need him.
I think it's fine to question, you know, like, I know kids do this a lot,
trying to reconcile it all.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, sometimes when I evaluate my own questionings of it, you still see yourself trying to become God in it, you know, that we, like, even think that we have some clue to his sovereignty of it all. And it just reminds me of how finite humans are.
Yeah.
A lot of people's biggest objection to God is injustice. But then at the same time, his justice.
Yeah.
And you begin to, and that's really a great, from apologetic standpoint, really more philosophy standpoint, is like to help people see like the fallacy in their objection. Like, you're objecting that God is indifferent, but then you're mad at the way God executes his judgment. And the truth is, what you're acknowledging is there is the need for justice. But that you want to be the one that determines. And very quickly we can see we should not be the people who are in the position of God. I would have smited so many people. And then let so many
them all
and then let some things go that shouldn't have gone, you know?
Like,
Yeah, it's true.
I'm glad I'm not God.
Me too.
Oh man. Well, it was a great Sunday and a lot of good questions that were asked, and I know just God's doing a lot in people's heart. And continuing, I mean, we've had a lot of questions coming up with, we've got our church is growing and just logistically, like, what does that mean? So what is our plan for growth of this church long term?
How about I'll take long term and Justin take short term?
Okay, perfect. Sure.
Can you figure that out before I
Yeah, I've got, I mean, I've got,
Yeah, long term, I mean, we plan to have a lot more parking,
which
costs money and time. We have the cash for that already, but we also plan to have a much bigger student space. We plan to have a gym, which is for fellowship, outreach, and also worship as well. And just a more open space kind of along with all that. So we're actually, we'll be sharing a lot of specifics about that and beginning to really raise money to be able to do that. We think it's going to take us about 3 years to raise the funds to be able to pay for half of that and finance the other half of that. So at the earliest, construction will probably begin in the summer of 2029, unless the Lord just does something incredible. And then that'll take about 2 years. So we're talking 2031, where we'll have a facility that could probably house in the 2000s of people on a Sunday. But the Lord has not saw fit that we have until 2031 to figure that out. So
so there's a lot of, I mean, if you've been on campus, you know, there's a lot of people. This, you know, 2 weeks ago, I know we had our largest Sunday ever besides the holiday. And so that was just, there's a lot of people. The 9:30 service in particular was like literally every seat over 90% capacity, which means you're full, right? So short term, we are working the plan to, you know, hopefully in January, February, we'll have concurrent services. But there's a lot of logistics to figure out in terms of the timing of that, the parking situation because of the parking lot across the street, paving that. So we're working all of those things. Immediately, we will have some overflow-ish areas available at 9:30 in the music suite. We'll be probably talking to some specific life groups about rotating into that space just to make space available. We need everyone to sit close and, you know, just to be park far if you can. I think a lot of times people are like, have you thought about this? People ask, like, well, why don't you just do all three the same? And I'm like, the services, and people go, hey, but then that doesn't solve kids our life group space. It doesn't solve kids ministry and when families would come. And so, and really, you know, continuing to serve and honor the best we can those who are part of that traditional service, and we want to do that. So, I mean, we do have plans in place. I mean, there's a lot, it's a lot more complicated than just like pipe it over to the gym, because we don't, we want it to be a great environment where people still feel it's worshipful, where people, new people can connect. So we're working those plans to have the overflow space, but that also means more volunteers. And so we don't just have a facility capacity. A factor in this is that we do have a volunteer capacity. And yeah. We're trying to constantly raise that, you know, mm-hmm. and empower volunteers and recruit more volunteers, because we need more. Mm-hmm. If we're growing, we need more kids, yeah. volunteers. Yeah. We need more life group leaders. And so, you know, Michael's working with people to get new life groups started. And, you know, Jacob and Lucas and Greta are recruiting hard and working hard. I will say, thankfully, right now, the church has really responded to those asks.
Yes.
And I think because people can – you walk on campus and you sense it. Hey, there's – it's exciting, but also, like, it's crowded. And mm-hmm. so – I think people sense it, and so people right now are being very gracious, mm-hmm. and we need to continue having that attitude. Yeah. So attitude
until
is part
Jesus
of our strategy.
Comes back.
That's right. I mean, that's not yet. That attitude doesn't need to go away when we have new buildings.
Yeah.
But that's the immediate. The immediate plan is that we're working towards that in January is the target. We're ordering equipment, trying to get the gym ready for mm-hmm. that. But there's just so many logistics to figure out in terms of the setup, tear down, keeping the gym functional for all other events, storing a lot of equipment.
Yeah, it's like Easter service.
You know, we aren't going to put a big storage shed out front for everything. It's basically like we're going to be like a church with a building and a portable church mm-hmm. all in one building. So it's going to be a lot on staff and volunteers. Yeah. So
people have been so gracious, I think, too, mm-hmm. and like you said, I hope that, you know, continues.
Please stay that way.
I've seen people like just a couple weeks ago, they, you know, were upstairs in the balcony and they were like, we saw people coming in and they couldn't really find a seat.
Yeah.
So we left so they could, you know, I'm like, oh, that's just, it's so great. And then even, and these are all, this was all the older generation too. Like mm-hmm. they've said to me, there's so many people on campus that, and they've been here for mm-hmm. 30 years, you know, that we don't know, but it's so exciting. And you just don't hear that all the time because we like to know everybody.
Yeah, we want,
know what's going on. But to hear them say that, I'm like, okay, that's cool.
You know? A few weeks ago when you had people, you were doing this the service when we had the prayer time at the end. We were having prayer time at all of them, but it was the extended altar call. And you had people from the church who'd been here for a while stand up. And the 9:30 service, it was amazing, like, how full that service was. But how few people who had been here that long.
15% maybe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to brag on somebody because of the attitude. Like Jennifer Hayes, who was in that service. She's been a member of this church for a long time. She's her husband, Matt. I was talking to her just recently explaining. She was just like, what are we doing? Like in an excited way. Yeah. And I was like, we may be asking this. She's like, oh, that's a great idea. We would be happy to do that. Mm-hmm. We would be. She's literally sharing like, we would be happy to come and have worship in the music suite so there's more seats for new people. I'm like, mm-hmm. can we just export that attitude to mm-hmm. all of our hearts all the time? Because you get it. Like, you have been here a long time. You have deep friendships, but you're like, but more people get to hear about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So please, let's just all be like that. That'll just grease the skids and all these transitions. So
Grease the skids.
Which of your characters says grease the skids? The hustle guy, the I don't want conflict guy, or the I see visions guy?
That would be the...
That's the hustle guy.
Yeah, the hustle guy. Like, just grease the skids. Yeah, we just got to do
okay.
it. Yeah.
That's good. Maybe we'll do a body talk on all of your
the many voices. My voices are not consistent, though, so...
That's good.
Yeah.
Well...
I don't
what is consistent is that we're going to wrap
Jesus is the same yesterday, today.
Yeah, if you guys have any more questions, you know, logistics, things that are going on, or maybe some different types of questions about the sermon, you can email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.